shit. Yeah, like the man in the city, yeah. Surrounded by all these women, yeah. I'm a young bop, stay stiff, and I'm trying to see who gon' let me pop a willy. Shawty body banging, banging, bang. Wondering, do it match a sex game? She got up on top of the chick like she play for the S game. Told her bend it over, she on all fours. Shawty looking like a four wheeler. Put the Magnum on, start stroking it. Yeah, I said it like a dope dealer. I like to go down low. She like when I'm down low. Just say what you down for. And when she grind, open her ear, I tell her, baby girl, you can get it. I let her know that I'm a real G. Hey, Shawty start smiling, now she know I wanna pop. Let me pop a willy. Pop it in that kitty, LOL, really. She like, boy, you silly. Let me pop a willy. Pop it in that kitty, LOL, really. She like, boy, you silly. Let me pop a willy. 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 Now this one night, that I really wanna get in. Body so tight, tryna find a way to fit in. Busy all week, we can meet up on the weekend. Tryna pop a willy, that willy, you make it give in. No, no, no. No, 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 we ain't making no love. We just doing what the grown-up does. I found the nicer way to say. Can I come and hit it right away? Right away. Beat that sideways. Beat that sideways. Can I beat that sideways? Hit that sideways. Can I hit it sideways? I don't get tired. If you try to run, I get the handcuffs. Oh, oh. Remember fun, you know what it is, a stick up. Baby, you know I'm silly. But I know she know I wanna pop a willy. Let me pop a willy. Pop it in that kitty. LOL, really. She like, boy, you silly. Let me pop a willy. Pop it in that kitty. LOL, really. She like, boy, you silly. Let me pop a willy. 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 Pop it in that kitty. LOL, really. She like, boy, you silly. Let me pop a willy. Pop it in that kitty. LOL, really. She like, boy, you silly. Let me pop a willy. 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 Let me pop a willy.
Talking brewski, Larissa Smith is who you see. What a cooler combo in here. Crack a cold one, we're on the air. Big talking brewski, Larissa Smith is who you see. What a cooler combo in here. Crack a cold one, we're on the air. Kicking back, having a few beers, we're chatting. Pull up your chair, we're all relaxing. Any subject, we never dismiss. Big talking brewskis with Larissa Smith. Comedy, sex, relationships, more. Any subject, we got it in store. Big talking brewskis is coming in live. Crack one open, Marissa has arrived. Big talking brewskis with Marissa Smith. Yeah.
Hey guys, happy Friday. This is Big Talkin' Brewskis. I'm Marissa Smith. We've got Rodney Daniels with us.
What's up, guys? Happy Friday.
And we have Melissa Diaz.
Hello, how are you?
Good, how you doing? Yeah, you can like control your volume here if you need to.
Okay.
So Rodney Daniels, how was your week?
My week was good. It was very, very busy. So as I talked to you guys about last week, I got into a musical called An Evening with Sarah Vaughan, and we have been in rehearsal like all this week. Saturday is a what's called a backers audition. So we have 50 investors of like RSVP, like to see like if they're like gonna actually like invest in the show. Wow. So if anybody else that's out there that's thinking about investing in An Evening with Sarah Vaughan, it's going to be a musical full of beautiful jazz music. Look me up on Facebook. So, yeah. So, it's been pretty exciting. I'm acting.
That's very exciting. Yeah, no, that's awesome.
Doing my acting thing, so.
Where is this, are the investors audition?
It's going to, at Ripley Greer. It's on, like, 38th and 8th.
Oh, okay.
Somewhere, like, in that area. Yeah.
And, like, do they have to RSVP, or can they?
It's an RSVP, but you can just hit me up on my Facebook.
So, hit Rodney up.
Ripley Greer Studio is really nice.
It's awesome. It's awesome space.
Good space. I'm really excited about it. The music. It's just like, you know, them talking like over piano, like it just sounds like so beautiful, and the singing, and I'm just like, oh my God, I'm acting in New York City. It feels awesome.
I definitely love like the acting environment in New York City. It wasn't for me. I tried it, but it's very nice. There's something about that stage. And
well, I'm from Wisconsin, so it's like just to like get to New York and be like acting in New York. Oh. It's just like a dream come true.
How does it feel now that you're here?
Surreal.
You don't feel
Like wow, like this is like happening.
I'm excited for you. That's great. Yeah. Congratulations.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Congrats. Cheers. So Melissa, how was your week?
Week's been pretty good. Kind of busy. It was nice.
Yeah. Did you have a lot of gigs or?
Yeah, I recently had a spike in some good gigs. I'm just enjoying them while they last.
Yeah.
You know, they come and go. So I have a background in music. I used to sing in this Puerto Rican band for 8 years before I started doing stand up. So I know how that goes, you know? So it's just, you kind of just ride the wave, enjoy it. I'm working on a cartoon. We dropped it tonight. I work on it with my boyfriend. We write it together. He's also a comic.
What kind of cartoon?
It's a, it's a 4 minute long, news parody segment, right? It's a cartoon. I animate everything. I draw everything. I do the backgrounds, right?
Oh, wow.
We write it together. And, it's basically, it's called The Real News with Alex Vitar.
Okay.
Okay.
And it's hard to explain. It's like a monologue joke, sort of, right?
Yeah.
With some funny scenes after, right? Some cutaways.
Yeah.
South Park-y, Adult Swim-y.
Okay.
But what we do is we make jokes about whatever we can think of that sort of is scary to the American zeitgeist today, right? Anything that people are terrified of, we make that the reality in the show.
Okay.
Right? So lizard people are a go, you know, just like all kinds of stuff, you know what I mean? The president is Ronald McDonald, you know, Ronald J. Rick, president, exactly, right. Ronald J. Rick, smirking over there. Like, well, I mean, he is.
Right, isn't that reality?
Yeah, yeah. That's what's happening now.
So it's a lot of fun, and we like playing with that aesthetic, and it's, you know, dark, gothic kind of stuff, but it's really fun. So
that's awesome. Like, congratulations.
Thank you.
Where can people look at your cartoon?
You can find it on YouTube. Just Google, you know, real news with Alex Vitar. Type in the whole thing or you're just gonna wind up with Alex Jones, you know. we're
and
competing,
that's even
there.
Scarier.
Yeah, exactly. That'll really scare the pants off you, but definitely see where we get it from. And it's just that, yeah, just YouTube it, you know, if you feel like it's fun. It's on, we're on a second episode today. As of today, we'll probably post the next one next month.
Nice. So now you said that you were in a Puerto Rican band.
Yeah.
So, was it like a girl band or like what kind of, was it like pop music? Was it?
Tell
us about it.
Oh, well, all right. It all started, I think it was my very early 20s, like 22, 23 tops. And, I ran into this Puerto Rican roots band.
Okay.
And they do this interesting sort of fusion, which isn't, it's not world fusion, right? It's Puerto Rican fusion. So it fuses, Jibaro music from the mountains, you know, cane cutting peasants that lived in the mountains like early on, then African Puerto Rican roots music. They put it together, right? So it's like the European and the African as one, and then they had like an urban spin to it, you know, because it was really just a bunch of kids that grew up here like me, like in the Bronx and LES and you know, like Spanish Harlem and stuff like that. And it's kind of like sort of like a revamping of all those sort of spirituals and mountain songs, you know, and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But it fed into, because I'm half Dominican too, it fed into me singing with a lot of other bands, like a Dominican salva band, and just kind of being a part of the sort of Afro-Caribbean New York scene, which was a lot of fun.
Yeah, oh, that's awesome.
Wow. Yeah, yeah, a lot of fun. Really, 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 really good performers.
Yeah.
Cool.
Did you like tour with them? Or
yeah, we toured. We played Broadway, off Broadway. We toured around Puerto Rico. We toured the States. We did a lot of colleges and universities. It's like a legit band. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And it was sort of a step in that direction for me of performing. You know, I always knew I wanted to perform.
Right.
I thought it was acting at first. I was very goofy about it. Same thing with singing, you know. Then I found stand-up so late, really. You know, if I had known about it sooner, I probably would have done it sooner, but I just didn't. So,
yeah.
You know, it kind of came
I
when
feel
it did.
Like you don't find stand-up. Stand-up finds you. You know what I mean? Because I feel like you're not, it's not something, like some people grow up with the idea like, oh, like one day I'd like to be a stand-up, but I feel like, but for the most part, I feel like, you're not going to move in that direction until your life takes you there. You know?
I don't understand. Honestly, I mean, I envy the people that that are like, I'm going to be a stand-up comic when they're like 14. Envy them, right? Yeah. But also, I think they're weird.
Yeah.
I think you're like a little weird, you know? Yeah. Like that's a little off because you can't do stand-up without life to feed off of.
Yeah.
So you're basically deciding to just kind of just feed off of yourself, you know, and just kind of I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because like I kind of feel like a lot of jokes do come from a little pain or angst inside, and so that like I kind of feel like when you're like 14, 15, like you're an angsty teenager, but like you don't really have like the life experience to, you know, write jokes. I think it's the same thing for like writers. Like, you know, like you need to live life in order to have something to write about. And, you know, other than like mom is grounding you because you stayed out too late, like what are your jokes about?
I can't really think of any comedians that are like younger.
Nico White is a good comic who started when he was like 14, I think.
Wow. Yeah.
And he's, he's 24 now.
Oh,
wow. Yeah. Been to stand up for 10 years, you know, but he's very good.
Yeah. Pete Davidson's on SNL and he started when he was like 13, 14 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So there was a lot of, and even like Chris Rock
was really young when he
Chris
started.
Chris Rock was young. Eddie Murphy was young. But
Chris Rock said he bombed a lot for many years. And maybe that's kind of that what you're talking about. It probably just came from that, right? Functionally, you know how to function as a comic on stage.
Right.
But there's nothing feeding it, right? When that comes later.
It's like, you know, you need that little something inside that helps you write the jokes. Otherwise, it's just like, who am I taking to prom? Waka waka. Like,
I guess it would be that character, actually. Yeah, you're right. What do you think did that for you? Like, what's the thing that feeds you? Feeds your stand-up?
So it's funny. So I'm going to tell an origin story. I had been single for a really long time, and I kept trying to figure out, like, you know, like, what's important to me to find in a man. And so like I kept writing all these lists and a funny guy like kept coming up, and I had volunteered for the Red Cross during Hurricane Katrina.
How's that?
I hoped that it would have been more of a hardship and more adventurous than it was, but they sent me to like, because like I'm like good with computers, so they like sent me to just basically like this data mine where I was supposed to like help find people that were like cheating the system, and like I was expecting to like put on like, you know, like mud boots and go out and like bring food to the people and like, you know, run from alligators and
that's
shit.
What happens when you're smart? They're just like, just keep doing smart stuff.
Just do the smart stuff. Right. You stay inside, and it was just like, it's like I was just in front of a computer for like 10 hours a day, and I was like, how is this any different than my regular life?
I came out here to help people.
It's just like, and all I'm doing is like, oh, and this one's a scammer and that one's a scammer. It's like, when do I start passing out the soup? That's why I came.
Right.
So
did you find a lot of scammers?
Yeah, how many were there?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, wow.
What would they scam?
Like, right, what are they scamming? Yeah. That's the interesting part.
Money. So, like, basically, like, they get vouchers for, like, you know, let's say you're getting vouchers for, like, hotels or clothing or medication or whatever, and they were giving out, like, I think they were giving out just, like, kind of, like, Visa, like, gift cards so that you could, like, pay for your stuff. Mm. And so these people would be scamming so that they would get, like, you know, like, double, triple, six, seven times the money. And so what we were supposed to do is kind of look them up in the system and then see if we could find multiple claims for the same people. And so, like, the thing was is that they taught us how to do it one way. But again, I'm good with computers. So, like, I was just, at that time, most people didn't have two cell phones. So they only had, like, one cell phone. Or one number, and like Google numbers weren't really a thing at that time. So like they would have us like search the person's name, which, you know, you very well can have like 45 John Smiths. It doesn't mean John Smith is a scammer. But if I look up the phone number for John Smith and I see seven accounts with variations of J Smith, JW Smith, John W Smith, like JWR Smith, like, you know what I mean? Right. And they all have the same phone number, and then you can just be like, okay, well, this person is scamming.
Oh, right.
So, like, then, like, it pulls up, like, multiple accounts through the phone number. So, and then once I figured that out, then
did
it's
they
just,
give you a raise once you figure that out?
It was free.
So the answer is yes. It was zero plus zero.
Yeah. Right. I got double zeros. Yeah. So, like, then I was just doing that. And then I got so disappointed from it. Because I was like, oh, I came here to help people, and then
really, you're just taking people down.
You know, it's like I became the man.
Right, you became, yeah, yeah. That scammer clearly needed the money.
Yeah. I was like the whole time you're thinking it, I was kind of like, but I mean, you know,
like,
yeah,
come on.
Yeah, you know? I didn't like, you know, but that's
maybe they need the extra money to invest in the stock market. That's pretty smart,
you know, penny stocks or a thing.
Penny stocks, anything, yeah.
But so I got really like disappointed after, and so when I came back home from my deployment, the first email that I opened was for a comedy class, and I was just like, oh, you know something, I've been looking for funny guys. I really need to feel good about something because I feel really shitty about, like, taking down these scammers. And so I was just like, I'm just going to take this comedy class and see what happens. And
which one was it?
I went to Manhattan Comedy.
Me too. That was, yeah. That was the one I took when I started. Yeah.
All right. So, I took that class and, you know, fast forward however many years later, and I'm still doing it.
So the system beat you down.
Yeah.
You were like, I can't. That's it. It's like, off.
When, I become a comic.
When the system makes you the man, then you got to change yourself.
Right.
Very true. So, how did you, like, was it the singing that brought you to comedy or?
It was probably a whole host of a lot of things, I guess. Dysfunctional family, right? My dad died when I was 16. I think that started me off sort of.
Yeah.
Into this sort of spiral into something. I don't know. Maybe just feeling alone, you know, and just kind of trying to find a place for myself. Mm-hmm. You know, so performing started off with that. And then I went through something sort of on a tangent with what you're talking about because initially I was going to join the Foreign Service.
Okay.
For similar reasons, right? I wanted to kind of be a part of some kind of progression, you know, kind of see where it went. But then the more I sort of explored the politics and the bureaucracy within the State Department, I kind of realized that it was more of the same bullshit, you know?
Yeah.
So I just kind of went, well, why am I running away from being a performer? When it's literally the same everywhere you go, it's always going to be the same sort of situation, right?
There's so a hierarchy just do, and...
Yeah, there's bullshit politics and comedy too, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So you can't run away from it, so you might as well do the thing you like doing.
Right.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, and find your sort of niche in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ronnie, how did you start?
I just kind of fell into it. I've always been a performer. I've been acting ever since I was like a kid.
Oh, cool.
And so I moved here and I found a friend that was a comedian and he was just like, oh, I'm on the show. You think you want to like get on it? I could talk to the promoter and here I am.
Who was it?
His name is Sean Struss. Shout out, Sean.
Okay.
So yeah, so one of the promoters saw me like, and then they asked me to do like another show. And then I think you saw me on a show and then asked me to do one of your shows. And then I just been doing
You guys
shows.
Get up in Brooklyn mostly, right?
No, I'm usually
no.
in Manhattan.
Yeah,
what part though? I've never run into you guys, but mostly because I'm only in Greenwich mostly.
Yeah, right? Greenwich. I think the first time that I met you, we did a show together at the Pear.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think it was Amanda's show or.
I could see that being the show. Yeah. She's a little more kind of extroverted, like she kind of goes into, you know, she knows more comics I think than the average comic at the Pear.
Amanda that was here last week.
I think it was Amanda's show that I saw you at, and I was just like, oh, okay. And I'm always kind of like on the lookout, like trying to find like more like female comics. So as soon as I'm just like, oh, it's just funny, like I'm gonna get her on the show one day, let me add you on Facebook.
Like, we do that. We go and scout. Well, it's like, okay, let's go to a comedy show. Oh, they're funny. Yeah. Ronnie, go talk to them, see if they want to do the show.
That's like, a cool thing to do.
Yeah, because I'm more introverted, and so like, you know, it's just like he's more like,
I'm like, hi, we have a radio show, Big Talk and Brucey. You want to do it?
Yeah, I can see that. You guys compliment each other very well.
Yeah, okay. Thank you. It's like I'm more like, oh, what's their name? I'm gonna add them on Facebook, and then I'm gonna book them later.
I'm introverted.
Like,
too.
How do I like their statuses?
I'm walking right up to you.
Oh, is that pro
You're
Trump?
Funny as
no.
fuck.
Yeah, you got to think about it, right? You've already had your mind made up like since months before. You're already like, okay. Locked and loaded.
Yeah, right. It's like when fall comes, I'll totally ask. It's like I need to work up to it.
I relate to that 100%. Yeah, that's cool.
Are you a big fan of Malcolm Gladwell?
I was for a while. I guess I still am. I did enjoy reading some of his stuff. When he first came out, though, you know, he was like a big... Everybody was like, ooh, 10,000 hours. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I think now people have kind of... punched a couple of holes in it, you know, kind of picked it apart a little bit, examined it, you know, so it's actually made him more interesting now, you know, because now it's more of a dialogue, I think, than him just kind of going, 10,000 hours, guys, that's all you need.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah. You know? End of story.
Good luck.
Yeah.
It's like, all right.
Who is Malcolm Gladwell for everybody like me? That's like, who's Malcolm Gladwell?
he's a writer. He wrote for a very long, like a series of articles in, The New Yorker?
I think so.
It was, right?
Okay.
He wrote for a long time, and then he...
he's kind of like a sociologist also.
Yeah. He gives talks all over the country and probably all over the world, right, for all I know. And has a podcast now. And he kind of just examines things from a perspective that I like.
Yeah.
And that's kind of why I like him, you know? And I like that he's almost like the kind of guy that he likes to look behind the thing everybody's looking at, you know?
Yeah.
He's like, oh, what's
like,
going on
how
over
does this
here?
Work? Like,
It's like when I went to the bodies exhibit and I just like spent the whole time just looking at the anuses of the dead bodies, you know? Because they forgot to take the hair off from the pubes. The pubes are still on the bodies, you know? So I was like, is
Wait,
this for all of them?
What?
You know? The pubes are on the anuses of all the bodies in the bodies exhibit, you know? They took the hair off everywhere else.
The assholes.
They were like, we're not touching that. Yeah. I don't know why. It's very interesting and it makes the exhibit more interesting. But
I guess like as the body shrivels and the hairs like get longer, so I could just imagine these like big tufts of like butt hair.
Yeah. They're just like, nope. I'm not doing it. Tell Sam. You know, like I don't want
to
do that.
And Sam's like, I'm going on vacation. I'm not even supposed to be here today.
Yeah. So I like him because of that. He's an interesting dude, and he challenged LeBron James to a race, which is interesting.
Like what sort of race? Like a running race?
Like
or?
Running race. Because LeBron, he retired now, right? Or something? Did something happen?
You're asking me because I'm black and I'm a guy, but
no,
because
you're the only. People
no,
in the
I'm,
room.
I'm gay.
Who am I going to turn to?
Can we do a fact check on that? Is LeBron James like retired?
There was something on Twitter
no,
about
not,
it. No, right?
He's not
no.
Retired,
or maybe it was.
Like. Oh,
no, I think Malcolm Gladwell put in the tweet because he tweeted him. That's how he communicated with him. So it was like public, right? He was just like, I challenge you to a race. You versus me, an aging retired writer. You know, let's do it.
It's like a, I feel like this is a modern day duel. Like, you know.
Yeah, it's an interesting.
It's just like, I thumb my nose at you, sir. Like,
well, what do you think is going to happen?
I think LeBron James is going to kick his ass. Like,
yeah.
Although he's very big, and I can see Malcolm Gladwell is like very slight and like very slender man. Like, he looks like
he got that runner's body. Yeah,
yeah. Like, he does have a runner's body.
I think he's been running his whole life.
Probably.
I think he's trying to prove that 10,000 hours thing, is what I think.
Yeah, is that. Huh. So, like, Malcolm Gladwell has this theory that it takes 10,000 hours for you to basically be an expert at anything.
I've heard of that before. To be an expert at something, you have
to do 10,000 hours. 10,000 hours. And so, now for me, like, I kind of always feel like...
Have you done comedy for 10,000 hours?
How the hell could you even
like count it? And especially since we do it at like between like 5 and 15 minutes at a clip, like, you know.
Oh yeah, shit.
I think that's why people are so desperate to get up like 5 times a night, right?
Yeah,
I gotta get it in.
I gotta get to 10,000 hours in.
You know what? I found though that sometimes less comedy is better.
Yeah, I truly agree, because like I don't really do mics, and like I feel like. Mics might count towards the 10,000 hours, but, like, I actually, like, count karaoke nights towards my 10,000 hours because it's still
you
performing.
You gotta see this chick do karaoke.
I think it's absolutely like, performing. Like, are you good at it?
Yes.
I'm terrible at karaoke.
I don't know that I'm good at
it. I've seen you do it. I think you're really good at it.
Like, thank you.
What do you pick? Yeah. You pick great. What, okay. You pick. She picks great songs.
Yeah.
Great singing voice.
Yeah.
Great performer.
Yeah.
Those three things.
Yeah. The crowd goes wild.
That's cool. That's cool.
Yeah.
You know,
but that's part of being a performer, though. Like, just doing karaoke is just like, that's like a no pressure. Let me just, like, I'm drunk, get up here and, like, hold a microphone. You
yeah.
know?
Right.
But, like, that's what I feel like it should count towards your 10,000 hours.
This counts towards the 10,000 hours, though.
Yeah, no, I think this counts towards
the
10,000
hours. Because this is why I feel like, because I don't do that many. I do mics pretty often, like one, like 3 or 4 times a month.
I do
but
mics. Yeah.
This is, like, more. I'm like doing my comedy like every week here, yeah. Big Talk.
Also, you get to listen back to yourself for long stretches of time. You're talking,
yeah.
You're riffing off of people, right? You new ideas. You say something, right? And you're like, oh, you know,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm gonna write that down and maybe use it. And I think singing for sure to help me,
yeah,
with the performance aspect, because I don't have to focus on that as much, right?
Right? Because you already know how to command a stage, and you know,
yeah,
like
I feel,
the
I'm
technical,
comfortable on a stage.
Yeah,
yeah, and that. So I never have to, you know, so other people are really. They're really great writers up top, right? But then they struggle with the performance aspect of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
And
right.
It's just different. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, which, like, is why I came into it like opposite, because like I started out performing. Ever since I was like a kid. And then I started writing when I decided to do comedy.
Yeah. And then you struggle with the writing.
Yeah.
Like,
and I struggle more with the writing. Like, I was like, ooh.
Do you think, because sometimes I think that, okay, right, you're a good performer, right?
Yeah.
Do you find that it's, okay, right, like if you're a good writer, not a good performer, you're going to struggle with performing, but you're always going to know that you're not as good at the performing until people start to give you the feedback that you are, right? That
right.
People
right.
are less forgiving of a bad performer and a good writer than they are the opposite, right? I think it's harder to learn how to write because people kind of give you more passes because you're so entertaining already.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like, unless you challenge yourself,
you have like, you always get like a neck, like, you have a false positive.
Right.
Yep.
You
yep.
know.
Yeah, because for me lately, it's been like a little more difficult to do like new material.
Yeah.
Like I have like my material, it's set, it's ready to go, it's a full performance.
Yeah.
But then I'm just like trying to throw like some new jokes in there. But like you don't want to, I don't want to like go completely off the rails and do something completely new. Because then it's like.
Yeah, well, people who are good performers, I think they have that like that I'm a people pleaser thing, you know, like
yeah,
kind of
exactly.
like at the core, you're just like, I want everybody
yeah,
to be
I want,
happy.
I
want to
make everybody be happy. I want everybody happy. I want the whole room to crack
Please
up.
Be happy. Yeah, so, and like, you want it so bad. You know?
Yeah.
So like, I'd say I'm more of a writer than a performer. So like, it's just like. I need to get this out. You're going to like it or you're not going to like it. I don't really care. I just need you to listen for a second. Like, you know what I mean?
That's what I love about writers, because you have that. You know, I want that. You know, that ability to kind of be like, I need this. I need to get this out. You know?
Yeah.
You got to, come on. You're going to listen to this.
It's like,
know?
Like, because I kind of feel like for me, like, with my, like, when I'm doing, like, I do, like, one for me, one for you, one for me, one for you.
Yeah,
like,
you're
you know what
that.
I mean?
Yeah.
And so it's like, so I get stuff out that I know that they're going to like. But then I also get my stuff out that, like, I just need to say. And but for me, like, I started writing very young. So, you know, I used to like write poetry and short stories and stuff like that. And so I was like, my first poem was like published when I was like 12.
Gonna ask you that.
Yeah.
What was your first poem though? Like, how did it go? Do you remember?
I think the first thing I think I ever wrote was actually a song about littering. It was called "Don't Be a Litter Bug."
Do you remember a couple lines?
I could see Marissa's kid face with the glasses looking at somebody littering, like, "I'm gonna get you."
I think you wrote the first angry blog ever.
No, I don't remember. Like, my mom like tells me about it, and like she was just like, you know, you were, and I guess I wrote it in crayon. Like, that's like how young I was.
That's awesome.
And my mom was just like kind of like, "Oh, what are you writing?" And I was like, "I'm writing a song." And then she's like, "What is it about?" Like, "Don't be a litter bug." And like, nobody likes bugs. You're going to get squashed. Like,
it got dark. Like, you're going to get squashed.
Going to squash you like the bug that you are, little bug. Like,
that was your poem?
No.
Oh, that's awesome.
Right. Hardcore at age 5.
Yeah, exactly. I wasn't having it at 3. Like, but yeah, so I started writing then, and then I took like a long break, I'd say, from maybe like being a teenager until I started comedy from writing, because like my favorite poet was Arthur Rimbaud, and he's like a French poet, and he stopped writing at 19 because he said he had nothing left to say, and I kind of like modeled myself after him.
Mm-hmm.
And so I like at 19 I just stopped writing.
Big reader, right?
Like, you? Not really.
No. Just poetry?
Like, I only read poetry because it's short. Like, I can't read a novel. Like, I don't have
Really?
I can't read a novel. I don't think I've ever finished a novel.
I was not so much lately, but like I was until like I was like in my 20s.
You were
like
what?
All throughout like high school, middle school, I read everything. Yeah. Stephen King, I've like read almost all of his
me
stuff.
Too. Do you like horror?
Yeah, I love horror.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Oh my god, I love
can't sleep.
Yeah. Love horror.
Movies also?
Yeah.
I love movies, yeah. But like I can't watch horror movies either.
Really?
No.
Dude, since the age, I don't even know since when, but 3, 4, 5, right? I would like watch a horror movie, like I would just make myself watch it, you know. I'd watch Aliens, and then I would just
be
terrified for the rest of the night in my bed. I thought I was like about to crawl out from under the bed, you know.
Oh my god.
And I'm like, all night, and then the next day I'd be like, I gotta watch part 2, you know.
Yeah. Oh, it jumps out the chest.
Yeah.
God, I love it.
Yeah, no, I hate it. Like, I hate being scared, and like I don't even do roller coasters because that shit's scary as fuck.
So you're not
like,
excited about the new It movie?
No, I'm not going to watch
it. Totally going to go see it.
Because, like, not only do I get scared, but because, like, I have no horror threshold that, like, my reactions are, like, big.
Yeah.
And so, like, I'm, like, the worst. I have one friend that I've been friends with since, like, freshman year of high school. And so, like, she has, like, she knows how to, like, walk me through a horror movie. And so, like, I'll only watch horror with her. And, like, so she'll just be like, all right, you hear the music? It's suspenseful, right? Like, so that means that something's going to happen. Cover your eyes. And I'm like, all right.
Oh, no.
And so then she's just like, all right, it's happening. It's happening. It's okay. Okay. You can watch. And I'm like, okay. And so like, she like literally like walks me through it.
That's like a Jehovah's Witness watching like an adult movie, you know?
Right. Daddy, when the curses are over. And it's like, wait, who's her daddy? Yeah. Why is he in there? Yeah.
Just miss half of it.
But like, it's the worst. And so,
so then what's your favorite movie genre then? What do you watch when you watch movies?
I like dramas, and I like comedy, and I like thrillers.
Oh, thrillers.
Wait, so
thrillers are different than horror.
Are they?
Because thrillers are like kind of like this could happen in real life.
Yeah.
And usually it's like you're like you're kidnapped by somebody or something like that. Like you're trying to like get out. That's like
it's a
thriller.
Different kind of suspense.
Right. Yeah, horror is like when, you know, somebody's stabbing someone.
Yeah, you know what? That's the thing about horror. It's like, no matter what horror it is, you're watching the the sort of dissolution of somebody's ego. That's what it is. You know what I mean? Either through death or like your soul, right?
Yeah.
Right? Soul gets eaten, or like your brain, right? Something about you that's fundamental to who you are is under threat.
Yeah.
You know? That's,
right.
That's like
exciting. Yeah. It's yeah.
I don't know why.
Oh my God.
It's exciting.
I just remember like the last like I'd say like the worst time that I had ever like really had like a freak out in a movie was like Blair Witch. Like that's how old
you watched
I am.
That?
Yeah.
I forgot to see like, it in the movie theater.
I saw Blair Witch. And so my friends, I went with, it was a big group of us. I think it was like maybe like 10 or 12 of us. We took up a whole row in the movie theater. And I was sitting next to like two of my guy friends, and they thought it would be like hilarious that like, and I wasn't sitting next to the one that walks me through my scary movies. And like, she was like, they wouldn't let her sit next to me. And like, so she's like kind of like tapping me like, you know, so like there, I'm watching it and there's like a real suspenseful part. And like my friend goes and grabs my leg and I freak out. And so one of them has the big ass tub of popcorn and the other one has the big ass drink. And so when they grab my leg, I'm like, ah, like, and so my arms go up. Soda across like four people this way. I flipped the big tub of popcorn over the seats in front of us. The people in front of us covered in popcorn.
It's like an 80s movie.
They turn around and they look at us like, what the fuck? And I'm just like, I'm sorry.
And it's
I'm
your not- high school bully.
And like, I can't. Marissa. No! Like, I'm sorry. I'm not good at horror movies. And they're just like, all right. Like, you know? And I was like, you guys, stop this shit. Like, I was, and so then, like, now I'll only go to see a horror movie if it's, like, if she watches it with me and she, like, walks me through it. Because I'm just like, ah, I can't do this. Like, it's too much.
That's a great friend.
Yeah. No, she's awesome. Like, she's, like, my BFF since, like, literally the first day of freshman year of high school. We met in Spanish class because she's Rodriguez and I'm Smith.
Did you grow up here?
Yeah, Westchester, like not the city, but like
here.
Yeah. Right. And so, like they you see us in alphabetical order. So like she sat in front of me and like I would just be like, hey, like, can you help me out with this homework? And she's like, I speak Spanish. I don't really write it. And I was just like, damn it.
Yeah, yeah. If you're Latino, you're born here. You're sort of like a bootleg Hispanic, like, you know? You can do maybe one or two of the things, you know? You could speak it, maybe. I don't know. Do a lot of finger gestures.
Yeah.
But maybe writing, that might be hard. Yeah.
You can't. Yeah. Can you write in Spanish?
Well, I'm fluent because I went to high school in the Dominican Republic.
Okay.
Like, oh, wow.
I was there for like 3 years. It was nice. Just beaches and beer and rum. Nice.
I had a weird dream last night that I went on a vacation in Dominican Republic.
I love the Dominican Republic. I miss it so much. Oh. Have you been there?
No, never.
Oh my God.
I don't know. That's why I was like,
it's so
random.
Good. Yeah. It's like, it's kind of like Jamaica, but everybody speaks Spanish and nobody's into that vegan shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's how they'll think about it. You're like, no vegan shit here. You're like, vegan? Do you want fish? You know, it's like that kind of place.
Yeah.
But it's, yeah, I like exactly.
That. I like
it's like
that.
A lot of pork. It's delicious. So it's fucking awesome.
Were you born here and then went there? Or?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was weird because it was a kind of like a culture clash twice. You know, once when I went there. But since I was still kind of developing as a person, you know, kind of like kid into teenager, you know,
right.
A lot of my personality developed there.
Yeah.
So when I came back, dude, I had like the tight ponytail and the lipstick and the Adidas shell tops, you know, and the tight ass fucking jeans. I came in to the airport. My mom's looking me up and down. She's like, what the fuck happened? You know, and I'm just like, yo, mommy, make it okay. You know, I'm giving her like pounds and shit. She's like, oh, Jesus. I gotta do something about this. Right. So. And then, you know, and then but then I came back. So it was another culture clash because I went straight into Chelsea, you know. That was like where my high school was, humanities.
Okay.
So then it was another culture. Yeah. And then like within the year I was wearing
18th
like,
and 8th. It's like right on the street.
Where?
18th and 8th.
Where you work there, you said?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
the restaurant that I work at is like right there.
Oh, yeah. I love that area.
Yeah,
it's just,
yeah,
it was so
yeah,
fun.
It's yeah, it's the gay neighborhood.
I love it. Yeah. There's, just hang out there all the time. Cut school, just hang out around there. It was nice. And then within the year I was just wearing like, you know, like parachute pants and just
you're like super goth and shit. And you got like a fucking like baby pacifier on your neck.
The baby pacifier that was in the Bronx first. Like, they stole that shit. I was like, whatever. Puerto Rican chicks used to wear that like in the 90s, early 90s, like 91, 92.
I might have had a pacifier once or twice. so Now, what exactly is a white Latino?
Yeah, that's what I want to know. That's why. I'm really interested. I'm really interested in sort of like this whole, the spectrum of like the post, this is going to sound really douchey, right? The whole spectrum of like the post-colonial sort of like just racialness, you know, and how it kind of bleeds into white, to, from, you know what I'm saying? Black right. into white, right? And I was watching a comedy show last night. I think that's why I thought about it.
Okay. Because
there's this girl, and she's a comic, and she's very funny. She's awesome. Good friend of mine. And then she said she was a white Latino, right? And I looked at her, and I was like, bitch, I'm white Latino. You know what I mean? Because I could see the phenotype, right? And I wonder if that's something that's maybe, I've only experienced it like in the South and in the Caribbean, right? Where people are more looking for subtle cues about what you are, you know?
Yeah.
Right.
Like how you speak, how you move, right? Little things, hair, skin, tone, yeah, right? Accents. Like little kind of eyes,
right.
shape, yeah. right? You're really, it's almost like scientific, you know?
Right.
Like it's like anthropologists, you know? They're walking around with like skin color swatches and shit, you know, holding right. them up against your
it's
face.
It's just like Puerto Rican.
When I think of white Latino, I think of like Jennifer Lopez.
Do you think, but she's not.
She's so Latin when you think about like certain aspects, but when you look at like some of her movies, she's typecast as like
definitely typecast. Yeah,
not just woman, not Latin, not white
woman.
She's just a woman
because it sells. It's her right. easiest way. Like yeah. Shakira, right?
And she like dubs herself down in those movies. Like you look at yeah. Enough. Like you can't tell if she's Latin or white in Enough.
But I cannot
like,
see it.
She doesn't have an accent. She doesn't like.
She has an accent.
She has a big accent.
You see what I'm saying? Yeah. You see. Everybody has different perceptions about yeah. what. You know, and that's why I wonder, like, what, you know, and also, like, I thought everybody knew that, you know, pretty much, I would say anywhere for, like, this is moderate estimation, right? 67% of Latinos are mixed, right?
Yeah,
And we didn't have the miscegenation laws, right? So it that kind of, like, binary thing didn't happen as much, right? It's right. there. It's all fucking there. Everything's similar, but there's that weird sort of overlapping kind of thing, you know?
Because I always kind of feel like because I was curious as to what your thoughts of like a white Latino would be, because like to me I think that would only apply to like maybe like Castilian
yeah maybe people. Like Argentinians, right, who are definitely right, their direct ancestry is like Italy, recent, you know,
right,
Germany, you know.
But for the most part I feel like if you're, you know, Puerto Rican or like Dominican or even like any sort of like Cuban, like any sort of like Afro-Caribbean Latino, I feel like you're
Colombian, Honduran.
Yeah.
All that central, especially that central Equatorial yeah. sort of, you know,
because mm-hmm. it's like it's Panama. It is that like cross between like your like Spanish from Spain, then you have like the indigenous people that would right. be like native.
They're
North
most
or
of the
South
population.
Central American. Yeah. And then also like you have that like Afro roots. So like, you know, I feel like all like most like Latinos are like white, black and indigenous. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's fair.
But
yeah, there's like that's like definitely one, two or three.
You know, but then,
but like no, but I or like a combination of
our
all.
Combination
because
yeah.
like I've definitely seen like Puerto Ricans, Dominicans, and Cubans that are, you know, far darker than me to far fairer than me.
Right,
you know what I
they
mean.
They think I'm Dominican in my neighborhood all the time.
Oh, really?
I get
yeah,
yeah.
I can see it.
Jackson Heights.
Yeah.
So like, there's nothing but Dominicans over there.
I probably like you know
that's cool.
Yeah.
Talk to me in Spanish. Like good food. Like,
no, I don't understand.
I mean,
you.
I like it. It's like, hot.
Yeah. yeah. Sorry, yeah. I'm American.
No, people think that like I get confused for Dominican a lot, mm-hmm, and like mm-hmm. You know, and people will start speaking to me in Spanish, and I'm mm-hmm. just like I don't know what you're saying, and they're just like you know
yeah,
what I
they
mean?
Do look at you weird too,
like what?
You know what I'm talking about.
I'm
like, no, I don't.
But I love that. I love that whole. I like that dynamic. I yeah. like how people are kind of because it's. I think it's making people kind of explore. You know. Yourself, right?
Yeah.
In relation to everybody, right? And everybody's kind of like, well, you know. And also, I don't know, because I grew up in a neighborhood, you know, where socially, like even Spaniards, right? You kind of look at Spaniards with some skepticism, right? Because you're just like, yeah, well, you got conquered by the Moors, motherfucker. Right? You're just like, oh, really, why, bitch? Right? Yeah, so you just kind of like, that's like in your head. But I think that's only like, I think it's mostly like blacks and Latinos in the U.S. that think that way. I'm not sure. I don't know. I'm not sure. Maybe white people are aware of that as much. They don't grow. They don't come from the same neighborhoods, yeah, right? So they wouldn't be. But
because then the other thing too is that you had a lot of like Nazi Germans that like fled that. To South America, and so like, you know, I can see like them feeling like, you know, nationally they're, you know, from, you know, Venezuela or whatever, but like ethnically they're German, mm-hmm. You know, and so I could see that being like a white Latino, but like, I think like also now, what's the difference? Like, because I know that people will say Latino, Latinx, and you know,
I'm
Hispanic.
Too old for that shit. I don't know.
You know what I mean? It's like,
oh well, the Latinx is more recent, but I think that's pretty clear, right? That just kind of encompasses people, not just, it's like where the sort of the ethnicity and the gender identity and sexuality overlap, combine. Uh-oh. I think it's just kind of a way to be more universal about that. Kind of so like, you just be like, this also, you know?
So wait, so what is it then?
I think so. I don't, you know, it's like Latinx is just kind of going no male, no female, right?
Oh.
So
it takes that. It's Latino, because there's and Latina. No. Okay, it's like the so Latino there's Latina. No
right.
gender Instead
associated. Instead of taking that away,
right.
Now there's Latinx.
Yeah.
Because there are a lot of transgender
yeah,
people
right?
in the Latin community.
Gender queer, just all kinds of, right? So they just, it's like, I think it's just kind of a way to be more inclusive.
Yeah. Okay. Because now you told me something new, because I was just like, I thought now in, like, I didn't know exactly what it meant, but like my hypothesis was that Latinx was, I thought it was like a big tent situation, but I thought that was to include Hispanics.
Well, the interesting thing about Latino and Hispanic, right? There's a difference between how they define it academically versus how it plays out on the ground, right?
Right.
But those things kind of come together, right? So let's say just in everyday colloquial use, right? Latinos tends to be people on the West Coast call themselves Latinos more.
Oh,
Midwest
yeah.
to the West Coast. People on the East Coast tend to call themselves Hispanic more.
Okay.
Right?
That's very true.
Right. But
it
academically.
Was Latino in California.
Yeah. Right.
Like here it's.
It just changes. I think there's something maybe because it's like more predominantly South American, Central American,
right?
Right? Oh. And I think that kind of plays a role in it. And then Hispanics is mostly, you know, here mostly Caribbeans, you know,
right,
people because, the Hispaniola, you know,
right.
The mm-hmm. islands is what it was called first.
Yeah,
and I think that's what it is. But in academic circles, Hispanic means all. Of the Spanish-speaking world, including Spain,
mm-hmm.
right? So Spain, everything in South America, Central America, all the Caribbean, you know, anywhere where there's Spanish speakers.
Right.
And then Latino means people of Hispanic descent that are Americans in the North American hemisphere, you know?
Okay, because like they're that. From Latin America.
Yeah.
Right, which
right.
would be...
Okay.
Which Latin America, is that just mostly like Central America or is that inclusive of South America?
That's inclusive of all of South America, I think, because it's like the Latin Romance languages, right?
Okay, yeah.
The Hispanic Caribbean would be the Spanish-speaking ones and then the West Indies would be the English-speaking ones.
Okay.
Right? And then I think in the mainland... same thing. Like Hispanic, right? That would be the Spanish speakers, and then Latino encompasses like the Portuguese and everybody else.
Oh, see, yeah. Now I never really considered Portuguese to be a part of like Hispanic. Like I always kind of look at like Portuguese and Spain really as part of like Europe, but. Mm. Like,
well, I think mainly Brazil is what I'm thinking. I'm
yeah,
not sure
like,
if actually Portugal
Brazilians,
would count.
They speak Portuguese.
Yeah.
Which is also like interesting because Macau also speaks Portuguese in China, and we wouldn't necessarily.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, like there's a very big like Portuguese population in Macau.
Yeah,
or like Portuguese speakers in Macau. So like I always think it's interesting that like we never really consider like Macau to be Hispanic, even though they have a very like big like Portuguese background, yeah. And then. You know, like Filipinos also have like some sort of like
right.
Like,
oh yeah, Tagalog. They speak Tagalog, right?
Right.
So they, yeah. But they count as
being more like Southeast Asian than being.
Yeah.
Although that their language is really more. So I think that it's interesting, like how The dualities play out in these sort of situations. You know what I mean?
Oh, I love it. It's my bread and butter. I read about it every day. I love it so much. I just love it. I like, because it's so, you know, human. It's so like a hotbed of just so many different things coming together, you know, all the time. All this clashing, you know. I think it's ultimately, I don't know. I think it might be good.
Like,
I think.
What
neighborhood are you in?
I live in Coney Island now. Oh my God, so many Russians. Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Oh wow.
Yeah, well, my boyfriend's Russian, so
okay.
It's like, oh my gosh, but I haven't seen rice and beans in months.
Oh yeah, because
you forgot what a bean looks like.
Yeah, my herring. That's, you know, what it's like. It's just a melting pot.
Yeah, everybody's sad all the time.
It's like, why are you Russians so sad? You won this election.
Like, what does it even mean? You know, it's all bullshit. Police, that fucking bullshit. But my mom still lives in the Heights, and I go visit her pretty often.
Yeah.
Cool. So, I love the Heights.
Yeah. But like, I kind of like always thought that like Hispanic was always like the Caribbean. Like,
yeah, I think that's fair. I think that's why the coastal thing happened.
Yeah. Yeah. Because like we're closer to the like the Caribbean sides.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it is interesting.
I think. Yeah, like I said, I think there's like, you know, there's a lot about what goes on the ground with people and their interactions and how they define themselves that kind of can be a little different from how people, you know, talk about it in universities and shit like that.
Right.
You know, they're just like,
ugh. But I also find like it's interesting that there's like, so like I have like friends that are fairly diverse, but I feel like the one thing that's like universal is that like, everybody's parents tells them not to like date a Mexican, like, and I never understand within the Hispanic community.
Like, everybody, really?
Yeah, it's like because I have a lot of like Colombian, Ecuadorian, Nicaraguan, and they're like Costa Rican, and they're all like very like anti-Mexican.
None of them
and
like just, Mexicans.
My mom's like, don't date an Ecuadorian, dude. That's
like,
what my mom
says. Well, Mexicans and Ecuadorians, they don't like each other.
I think it's just because they're macho guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, they're like macho.
But you guys have like, there's like
Dominican
different
guys
like,
are too though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, they like, if you're not like from that country, like just like no.
But I feel, and I
but
feel
like collectively they all don't like Mexicans, I feel like.
Oh
yeah,
my God.
And I feel like Colombians are really like throw shade at like the Dominican Republic.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's
like
this
like mad like, and I'm just like,
Mexicans
dude.
Do too. They don't like the way we speak, you know, because it's like Caribbean, you know, it's like a sort of a Creole-y kind of language. It's like, it's a little different from like the mainstream language of Spanish.
Yeah.
You know, but
it's just like, I feel like most like Latinos, if like you're not like, they're throwing mad shade at Mexicans and mad shade at like Dominican Republic, and like to the point where like I had a friend that was Colombian, and like she got a Chihuahua and her mom was just like, you have a Mexican dog? And I was just like,
what was it, the Taco Bell dog?
Like,
hey, I don't know why you don't like me.
And I was just like, whoa. Like, there's a lot of hostility in this kitchen right now.
Like, or a dog.
That's like,
hilarious.
It's just like, that dog doesn't know it's Mexican. Like, that dog just wants like a fucking belly rub. Like,
it'd be interesting to kind of know why, like why. Right?
Yeah, like,
it comes
why
from something.
Is that, like, it has to.
Some kind of interaction, probably. I don't know. Yeah. Something. It's always something.
It's passed down from generation to generation. You know.
Yeah, like, you know, from something where, like, some group of
it's
rowdy
like of
people
things,
came
you know,
into a place one time, and they're like, you see what I'm talking about?
Right. Yeah. You know, for me, when I told my dad I was gay, he was like, okay, I don't care. Just don't bring a white man home in this house. So, you know.
Everybody's got their shit.
Like, how about
everybody's
a chihuahua?
Got their shit, right. What if he's crazy. Irish? Right.
Yeah. 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 Yeah, you need to like, find the sort of like
Eastern
loopholes.
Count, like,
It's like, what if he's Jewish?
Right?
Like, you know. Then it's fine.
I think my mom was weird about Jewish people for a while, and it's weird because like the guy I'm dating is like Jewish, you know, like Russian Jewish.
Okay.
Yeah, but she loves him. She thinks he's like awesome. You should try it.
Hmm. Okay.
Do it anyway.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
I mean, if I didn't like black dick, sure.
Oh, well, then don't, you know? Your pleasure comes first.
Right, exactly. Right?
I mean, really, every penis looks the same.
This
I don't
is,
see color.
We have
color.
Had this discussion before. This is not
it's
true.
Always, like, dark, you know? Lights are off.
It's veiny and angry. Like penises.
I like penises.
I like penises.
I mean, I would venture to say I love penises.
Yeah. You know, penises are a grand thing.
Sometimes.
I'm happy someone invented them.
Yeah.
Sometimes not so grand.
Little leaky, but okay.
You know, I can't tell you how happy I am that this all ended with us talking about dicks.
Yeah. You know, it's full circle.
Yes.
You know? Yes. It's like we can't be like all like smart all the time. You got to end shit sometimes on a dick.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's great ending on dick.
Yeah. I feel like we have to just right. end it on dick now.
Well, we all learned a lesson today.
Yeah.
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 You know, like every pot has its lid.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it does.
And sometimes it's veiny and angry.
Yeah. I feel uncomfortable now.
Wait, this can't be worse than dead furry assholes.
I don't know how, true. But it kind of is. I don't know.
All right, so we're going to take a break before we start our next segment. But before we go, Melissa, where can everyone find you on social media? What's your next project? Where's your next show?
My next show is tomorrow, Saturday, at the Project Life Center.
Cool.
Where
is that?
It's in Woodside, Queens.
Nice.
And also at QED, I'm going to be at
what time
You Should
it?
Know. It's the QED show's at 7:30, and then the She Woman something lovers is. Oh no, Carolyn's going to hate me. well, I mean, if you want to know more details, you can find me online. Twitter, Mel's Missing, IG, Mel's Missing, Melissa Diaz on Facebook, and MelissaDiazComedy.com.
Nice, awesome,
awesome.
Rodney.
I'm actually doing a show tomorrow night. It's a comedy competition at Broadway Comedy Club. Ooh. I'm one of the judges. And
nice.
Yeah, that's so fun. That's going to be fun. I'm going to do some time and see what these comics going to do.
I hope you make one of them cry.
Yeah, like, are you going to be the Simon or are you going to be the nice one?
I mean, my personality is, like, kind of Paula, but if you really, like... You know, fucking up. I don't know.
It's just like, oh, you're going to figure it out.
I'm going to pretend like I didn't see that.
It's like, bitches, you better bring this.
Right? For real.
Like, make me laugh.
Right?
Yeah, you guys, this has been Big Talkin' Brewskies. I'm Marissa Smith, and we will be right back.
Big city. Big city. Bright lights, bright lights, fancy cars, jet flying, limousine ride, chick steal, wheeling and dealing, son of a gun. Learn and love it, cause it's the best thing going. Mothers, hide your daughters. Big city, bright lights, that's what I'm dreaming of. Like Biggie, yeah, shit, classy. I came up from the bottom, struggled for too long, lived on the pope. Man's column, I remember when the ladies didn't want me. But now I guess it's on the man that cannot live without me. You ought to see my Twitter and my IG, man, it banging like a motherfucker. Had my niggas still, cause even right there with me in the gutter, shining on a hater, rocking alligator. Moving state to state, baby, I gotta stack that paper. No, you missing me, but I'm living my dream. I went from driving hand-me-down to riding super clean. They said I couldn't do it, but I did it. Now they know I am the flagship. Best it ever did is beg a differ, come and prove it. I work too hard to live the way I'm living. I pull up in that Bentley with them stars up in the ceiling. You hear me? Big city, bright light. That's what I'm dreaming of. What I'm dreaming of, short days and long nights.
it when you make it, they gon' hate it on ya. My mama told me never be afraid. Do you see the change in me?
I'm the one that makes things go round and round. Ladies, you ever been to Space Mountain? I can take you on a trip. You're looking at God.
Yeah, big talking brewski. Marissa Smith is who you see. What a cooler combo in here. Crack a cold one, we're on the air. Big talking brewskis. Marissa Smith is who you see. What a cooler combo in here. Crack a cold one, we're on the air. Kicking back, having a few beers, we're chatting. Pull up your chair, we're all relaxing. Any subject, we never dismiss. Big talking brewskis with Marissa Smith. Comedy, sex, relationships, more. Any subject, we got it in store. Big talking brewskis is coming in live. Crack one open, Marissa has arrived. Big talking brewskis with Marissa Smith. Yeah.
Oh, it's fine.
Yeah.
All right, well, I'll try it. If you guys aren't
here. Hey, guys. Happy Friday. This is Big Talking Brewskis. I'm Marissa Smith. We are back, you guys. I've got Rodney Daniels with me.
What's up, guys? Happy Friday, segment two.
And we've got Pete Brocker with us.
Hey, everyone. How's it going? Hope your Friday's going well.
Good, good. Now, is Pete or Peter?
I go by Pete. I feel okay. Like whichever, so, I'll respond to both.
You'll like, respond to both. Don't worry about it. You're Pete, dude.
Yeah, I feel like that's Peter's. I don't know. It's formal to me. I feel like.
Yeah,
it's like one step below Mr. Brocker.
Like, it's like just your mom call you Peter then,
or
like,
only call you Peter when you did something bad.
Like right, like somebody says Peter.
No, I feel like. Well, no, that's the middle name thing, right? Did you guys have that growing
yeah.
up?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You get the middle name, and you're like,
yeah,
oh,
the whole
yeah. Right. When you get the middle Rodney name, it's just like, oh, shit, I'm in trouble.
What the fuck did I do now?
The only people that ever called me Peter were just, like, girls I've dated who were mad at me at that time.
Okay.
Would call me Peter, so that's probably why I don't like it. That's it right there. That's the whole thing.
It's just like, I did a Peter thing. yeah, it's... I don't know, like my mom, like I feel like sometimes if I do something bad or if I say something that she feels is like inappropriate, then I get a Marissa Ann, like, you know.
Yeah.
It's just like, all right. And it still feels exactly the same as it did when you were like five.
Oh, it always will.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like my parents gave up real early on me saying inappropriate things. Unless I did something, I feel like I never got in trouble. I was just like, even then, they were like, I feel like I had like hippie parents. Like, they definitely took the 60s too seriously.
Oh, okay.
And like, because I was growing up. And
where are you at? You have siblings? Or are you
I'm the youngest of two.
See?
Okay.
And so.
The youngest, they always give up a little bit, I feel like.
I think there's like, as long as you're close, right? Because I'm only a few years younger than my brother. So I got to do everything he did whenever he did it.
Yep.
So there were no rules when I was like 13 because he was 16 and driving, so screw it.
Right.
they just gave up.
Right. I'm the oldest of three. So like my parents are super hard on me, and like my brother, like not so much, but like we're like super close in age, like
less than 2 years. But my little sister's 5 years younger. So by the time, like, I'm, like, in college and, like, I come back home, this bitch is just, like, driving out. I'm gone. Like, you know, like, I was 16. I had to, like, fill out, like, permission slips and shit.
The oldest always gets killed with rules.
And then, my God, it was horrible.
Yeah, so you paved the path for your siblings.
Yes, I paved the way. I had to go through all of it.
To do whatever they want. Like, that's... Oh, man.
I'm the only child, so, like, I'm, like, the oldest, the middle, and the youngest all wrapped into one kid.
Yeah.
But I feel like then they can't get that mad at you, though, because you're their only option. Yeah. Like, there's nobody else that they're like, well, we're going to give up on this one and focus all of our attention. Like, you're it.
But then
there's nobody else to compare you to either. Like, my grades were always stellar. My brother's, like, sucked. So, like, he'd have those discussions, like, Ronnie's getting straight A's. Da-da-da-da. Like...
Yeah, I mean, it, like, I have a half sister, but, like, I don't really know her, but she's like that half. Was the one. Yeah, she's a half, and not the good half. But you know, but like she was like in the school for the gifted, so I got that one. It's just like I might be getting A's, but like she's in the school for the gifted.
was that like a real place, a school for the gifted?
Yeah,
really? That's I feel like that's like something that people make up when they're going to like a school for the not gifted. Like, oh yeah, he's going to a different school. He's really good at adding. Like it's that's nuts. That was not a thing where I grew up. It was like one school, and just like make do.
Yeah, no.
Nobody did too well, and then a lot of people dropped out. And that was high school in upstate New York.
Yeah, but I went to like an all girls like private school. So like, it's not that I was going to a bad school, but like she was going to the school for the gifted. You know, it's just like, oh, that B is cute. Like, you know, your sister is going to the school for the gifted.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, yeah, you know that I've never met her, right? Like,
wait, but then that put, because I went to an arts high school.
Okay.
And so, like, when it's time for my little brother to go to high school, they're like, well, you're going to go to arts high school like your brother. Like, you better audition. You're going to get in. He did, though. But that was, like, pressure.
That is, dude, that's the thing. There is a lot of pressure on, like, close-in-age siblings. Mm-hmm. Like, my brother played, like, varsity soccer all 4 years of high school. And I did not. Like, I didn't try out. I didn't do any sports in high school. I was just like, I'm not going for it.
Yeah, you're like, I am not interested in athletics.
Yeah. I'm really going to sit a lot. I feel like that's where my spot is.
Yeah, but it's just like, I hope you've got a cushion for that bench because I got a warmer for it.
Oh, my God. I just want to try on some breakaway pants and never take them off.
Yeah. I just want to know that they can break away, but I just don't need to break them away.
But they break away like at the most inopportune times, though, like on the sides. I don't know if
you know.
There's some like traumatic experiences around breakaway pants.
And then not so traumatic experiences.
And there's just like Roddy just like...
Oh, you ready for this?
Let's get this party started.
Oh, that sounds awful because all I can think about is how long it must take to put him back on after.
It's like, you're just so like, oh,
I really want to get out of here.
Stop. It's all worth it for that one moment.
One moment in time. Yeah, I don't know. To be honest with you, I've never owned breakaway pants, but I can see the functionality being interesting.
Yeah.
That's how I feel about cargo shorts. I have owned cargo shorts. I don't have any,
but like, I wish I did sometimes.
They look very functional.
Like, yeah, you got the pockets like all the way down here. Like, it's like, nice.
But they're better than like carpenter shorts, because carpenter shorts are like gross.
Wait,
I don't know what that one is.
Wait, what's the carpenter short?
The carpenter short is the one that has like the loop that you can like put the little hammer in.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah,
I didn't know they came in shorts. I thought that's
they
who's
have
walking around in those.
Yeah, like, I really just want to carry my hammer, but not like my lower leg gets hot. Like,
yeah, it's like I got sweaty calves. Like,
No, I feel like cargo shorts are like men's only option for purses.
Yeah, see, that's the thing, is that you guys get to like carry like all this shit around in your purse. We have to like either have like a book bag or stick everything in our pockets. It's like annoying.
But that's like your guys doing though. Because you know the purse, well, I know a little bit about the history of the handbag. I'm not going to tell you why. But the purse actually was a men's fashion because women were not allowed to carry money at, you know, one point in our archaic history. And then it wasn't until makeup came into fashion that women started wearing purses because they needed it to hold their makeup. But and then once women started holding makeup in a purse, then men stopped wearing purses. But the purse started out as a man's accessory.
I wish it would have stayed unisex. It would have been nice to have been like
the more you know.
Yeah. It would have been nice to like have like if there were like more like man purses and it was a thing. Cause like I don't like wearing a book bag because then I'm not fucking 17. I'm in my 30s. Like can't just be walking around with a fucking book bag.
Yeah, but you could wear like a messenger bag.
Then I look really gay.
I have a messenger bag right over there. I walked in here with a messenger bag. Damn it! We were saving that one the whole time. Like this guy, this messenger bag.
I got the hottest messenger bag right now.
Right. You're like,
it's totally heterosexual.
Right.
No, I feel like if you have the little bag, like
I feel like little bags are worse. Like a nice, like if it looks like it could fit like a laptop in and like some books, like okay,
yeah, yeah. But like I just like I see like guys wearing like little speedy Louis Vuitton bags.
Yeah, in Chelsea, right?
Well, yes, they might be in the gayborhood. It doesn't mean that they're not wearing a bag, like.
So I at this point now I think that I'm like I would leave it everywhere. I'm too irresponsible.
That's another thing too.
Start
it's
now
like I also it, right. I will get drunk at a bar and then forget that I had a fucking book bag with me and
that's
I won't remember it.
Crossbody.
I'm supposed to just have that on me all the time.
I do. Like,
yes, you have boobs. It goes in between. It complements them. It doesn't.
It doesn't lift and separate. It just goes in between.
I don't know. I'm not trying to like.
Well, no, because I also I have some boobs going.
Yeah,
on.
Yeah, I got like and man cut, boobs. It, like, when so I'm like, trying to like
when I wear one, it makes my the boob that it goes under looks huge. And like try going for a girl at a bar with a bag on that makes you look like
have
you have
like one like
giant
one
breast.
Giant boob.
Yeah.
I guess like do a chicken cutlet for the other one. Like,
yeah,
I don't know.
I promise they're even. Like that's not. Yeah. It's the bag.
The bag makes it not even.
Yeah. If that was the deal breaker. Not.
Right. Well, see, then you come in with the bag, and then you're uncomfortable because you got the one boob, and then you have like a couple of whiskey sours, and then you take the bag off, and then you leave it at the bar. Like you end up just walking away because everybody gets comfortable with not seeing your one boob.
I do a small crossbody. That's how I roll. I live a crossbody life.
Right. Yeah. You're still a chick. We can't be walking around on a train with a crossbody, a little small crossbody. He's gonna get like guys.
People
that,
do a
people speed like, hey, what's up?
Some actual bike messenger in messenger shorts is gonna start coming up to me on the subway and be like, "Hey, man, I like your bag." Like,
yeah. Exactly. Where you and we to?
It's like this is my territory. What company are you with? I don't know. It's interesting, but I think you guys can like you can do the sling backpack, so it's not so like backpacky, but like you can put like your treasure trove of things back there.
Yeah, I have one of those that has a little drawstring to it. It's like
yeah,
sporty.
Yeah.
I mean, depending
you
on what
could
I have
do that.
I do. I've been doing that, like, but. In general, I don't like having one.
Yeah, I feel like, I don't know, I feel like no bag option that men have is
like,
convenient. Or, like, you can't wear a drawstring bag to, like a work function or something that's, like, somewhat formal. Sure.
What if it was leather?
What's that?
What if it was leather?
That would be, I feel like it'd be even weirder. Like,
wait,
what is in your,
wait.
Like...
Ooh, it's leather, Louis Vuitton print, but drawstring bag. Like.
If you show up in a suit wearing a leather drawstring bag, my first thought isn't going to be it's leather. It's going to be like, is that human skin? What's going on? Like, who are you, serial killer? You make that yourself? What is...
Meet Becky.
That's why I don't have exes. Like...
They're all in the garden. So, Pete, What do you feel that young professionals are getting wrong about climate change?
So this drives me nuts. I have friends who are like super pissed off at Trump, blame him for everything, like Paris Agreement, all that stuff. And then they're like, yeah, did you see like the fair sale? I'm going to Thailand in 3 weeks. Or like, oh, I haven't been to Europe this year. Like, yeah, you're an idiot. You're the reason the barrier reef is falling apart. It's like the airline industry, so I'm not sure everybody knows this, is like one of the worst polluting industries that there is. It's like,
yeah,
it's like the dairy industry, cars and airplanes.
Right.
And nobody's going for airplanes because there's no alternative.
Yeah,
like, we're not going to start sailing again.
Like, right. I mean, you could, but
why it would take a while.
It would take a long time.
So nobody's doing anything about it. Like, they're trying to make them more efficient. But the my favorite thing is I have friends that are like every 3 months they're going on some huge vacation. I'm like, I'm not just bitter that they're doing this, and I'm like,
right.
Like, oh, I can barely make it to the village. Like,
can you give me a swipe on your way to the airport?
Right. I never do that. Like, people ask for a swipe. You do that sometimes?
Really? Oh, I always do that.
Really? I feel like it's like an undercover detective or something. Like, almost at all times.
Well, you know, like nobody cares. Like, I've definitely done it in front of cops, and like, and I mean, maybe it's just because I'm the whitest guy in the world, and I'm like. Like, it's it is tough to get more, like, look like the undercover cop. Like, the fact they're coming up to me to ask for a swipe, like, they need that shit.
Right. Like, so. No. And I look like the one that they target. Hey, yo, you want to give me a swipe? Right. And then all
like,
of a sudden.
Like, Pete can just be like, good job.
Yeah. Like, that was a test. I like what you did there. You did the good work.
Yeah.
But then, no, I always give them swipes. I feel like they're having a tough enough day. I don't need to. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like,
no one ever asked me for swipes, but I also feel like when I'm in the subway, I definitely put on like unfriendly face, like just like I'm getting to places, like don't get in my way, like you know, because like I just don't want to get like have a homeless dude like jizz on me, basically. Like,
I used to live in California, so I always have on shades a lot of times. So like I feel like that like makes people like, oh yeah, I could talk to him because like.
Really? Sunglasses are making you more approachable?
I don't know. Like, people don't, like, they stare at me more a little bit with the sunglasses, but, like, if you want to, like, people, like, ask me for directions when I have my sunglasses on.
Like, maybe they're just trying to figure out if you're somebody, and then they're like, oh, well, let me talk to them, and let me see if they sound familiar. Like,
oh, my God, I just talked to Rodney Daniels.
They're all like, this guy's wearing sunglasses at midnight. He definitely has coke.
Yeah.
they're not asking for directions. They're like, are you going to take this somewhere else? What are we doing here?
Pot of fables.
So here's the thing, though. Is the homeless on the subway, everybody I know has been flashed by a homeless guy except me. And it's getting annoying now where they get on the subway and I'm like, is it going to happen? Like, is this it?
Eyes like, come on, bro.
Well, you kind of want it, too. Like, so you can, like, be a part of the club where you can. Like, so you're like, oh, yeah, that happened to me, too. Now I'm just the weirdo that's never had it happen to him.
Just don't think about it. Relax. And then.
Just let it happen to me.
Just let it happen. Because one day it's just bound to.
I've never had it happen on the train, but I have seen it, like, when I'm getting, like off the train, like, on like 14th Street Union Square, like you know, like
that's what happened to me at like 3 weeks ago. 14th Street, yeah, I was getting off to go to work.
That's jerk off Mecca.
Yeah, this guy was just literally just jerking off. Right, he was just like,
see, I feel like that. I don't know.
He was in his pants, but like,
no, he had no pants on.
Oh no, this one had. I haven't seen the naked,
and he was like really white.
Yeah, I haven't seen the naked. Jack off yet. I've seen like the in the sweatpants, like sitting on top of the stairs.
Oh.
Like, see, he's watching like, everybody walk up the stairs and he's like.
I mean, he's people watching. And that's like, and so that's like, you know what? He's like one step closer to being a part of society.
Yeah.
No, I don't know. I don't know if that counts. I feel like if you haven't seen the dick. I don't know. I don't know if you can say you've seen a homeless guy jack off. You've seen a homeless guy rubbing his junk inside his sweatpants.
But it was like, definitely like the a long stroking motion. It wasn't
big dick homeless guy.
I mean, if a big dick homeless guy like jerks off in the subway, like, does he have a big dick? Because no one can see it. That's just the, you know what I mean.
I feel like homeless people all have huge dicks. Is that like? I feel like no, because I feel like the crazier you are, the bigger your dick is. Like as a general rule, I feel like they all are just like fucking hung down to their knee. I'm like, good lord.
That's really true, and it, like you know, you're homeless, so you're super skinny, and like usually, you know, for every 10 pounds that you lose, you gain an inch of penis. Did you know that?
That sounds like bullshit.
No, I read it on the internet.
I've heard of this.
That's why huge guys usually have smaller penises. And that's why super skinny guys usually have longer penises.
It's mainly because, like, I feel like it's like an optical illusion because, like, when your stomach, like, is so flat, it makes that seem like it's longer. But, like, and then when if you have, like, a big gut, like, your gut is, like, covering it up. So,
but, no,
like,
if you were, like,
it.
At a certain weight and, like, you lost, like, 30 pounds, your dick gets bigger.
I don't think that it's getting bigger. I think it just looks bigger.
Is this a blood flow thing? Because I feel like if you're fat, there's no way you're getting, like, a full on.
Can we have a fact check on the size of a penis?
Anyway, who can Google this? Somebody Google this. Just go to images and let's see for some before and after pictures. And we'll like, sort this out right now.
Yeah. I don't know.
Where's
like,
that on the weight loss ads? But like that's all you need. Like, here's me before and here's me after. No, you don't even have to show faces. They, oh, everybody's like, buying that pill. Like, they're all like,
I want to see that infomercial at the middle of the night.
Who knew?
But I think that it's like a cruel irony that like for women, it's like the opposite. So like if you start losing weight as a woman, your boobs go first. It's like you start losing boob like immediately, and then it's just like, but like guys, it's like, oh, you lose weight, you get a bigger dick. But it's like woman, like you lose weight, you lose your tits.
Damn,
that's not a fair trade.
No,
nobody's got a response to that.
It's not like
that got real.
It's like
another reason why women are oppressed.
Like, damn you, fat cells! It's not like, oh, you lose weight and you're gonna get like tight as a drum. Like, no, it's like you lose weight and like you're just gonna lose your tits. It's like,
yeah. I mean, is it if you lose? So I guess like, is it if the tits are the first thing to go? Do they stop at some point and then like the stomach goes? Is this like a? I feel like it's like then is like you got to like work out the math of it and be like, is it worth it? Like, is my stomach going to shrink more of a percentage than my tits shrink, so they look bigger by comparison?
So I feel like, in my own experience, I feel like you lose the boobs first, and then you lose the stomach, and then it starts balancing itself out. Although size wise, you're smaller, you might like people that don't. Know that you used to be bigger might not know because like proportionally you look like you're bigger because I used to be like kind of fat when I was like in high school, and I tend to like fluctuate size, so like when I'm heavier I might be like a double D, and then like, I'll have, like, a more of a tiny.
Went straight to the ceiling on that one.
It's all the double D. All right, like, Marissa.
And I'll have, like, more of a belly. But then, like, when I start losing weight and my stomach is flatter, then I'll, like, move down to, like, a DC. But, like, my stomach will be flatter and people will still, like, be like, oh, you've got big boobs. And in my head, it's just like, oh, you should have seen me last year. Like,
So I used to also be fat in high school. I was like 270 pounds in high school.
I was also fat in high school.
What? This table this explains so much about why we're all at this table.
Yeah.
Now we're all comics. Like,
yeah. We grew a personality.
Yeah.
Kirsten not peaking in high school.
Now I yo-yo too. I go up and down in weight all the time. I have like my fat suit and my skinny suit.
Too.
Just in case I have shit to do.
Yeah.
But no, now I also have to start measuring my dick as frequently. Like when I get fat again, I have
measure your dick.
I'm gonna look into this.
And then when you start getting skinny, measure your dick.
They say for every 10 pounds you gain an inch. Yeah. So
I mean, I feel like 270. I've lost like 80 pounds. That can't, like, there's got to be like, at some point that starts to
drop
off. It's
got a curve.
I'd have I don't have like a 12-inch dick, which would still have only given me 4 inches back in the day. But like, I feel like 80 pounds, right? Like, that's right math. That's,
yeah.
That's yeah. Like, yeah. So like, maybe the first 20 pounds,
you get
an inch. And then for every 10 pounds after that, you get like a centimeter.
But like, I still feel like it's because like you can't, I don't think that it's growing so much as the fact that like it's being more revealed, because I just feel like when you, no, like, you know,
is it just
no,
length?
I feel you,
or is
what
it like
you're saying,
too?
Like, right, because it's like you got like the gut that's like covering
because, like,
it.
I've definitely fucked fat dudes and like they,
definitely,
like, they were definitely
that's
fat.
I've definitely fucked fat dudes.
And like, and you can't like reach it because it's like you're just bouncing off all his belly, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's kind of difficult to get up in there.
If I knew you could get fucked as a fat dude, I wouldn't have lost all that weight. this is life-changing news, guys.
You heard it right here at Big Talk and Bruce. Right?
Getting some dominoes. Like, we're going back.
All right, so we're hitting White Castle after the show. Yeah, but like, I don't feel like it's getting bigger. I just feel like the stomach is getting smaller, so like you just can see it more and reach it more.
I feel like that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You definitely have like,
you can get to it.
Yeah, because otherwise it's just like this like blobbity, 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 and they're just like, oh, somewhere, like, you know.
This is the saddest description of like foreplay I've ever heard. Like, is this it? Is this what I'm getting? Can you shove yourself out of the way of your penis?
It's like, wait, hold on. Let me just push that up. Like,
oh my God.
Some people are into that.
I've seen TLC. It's a real thing. No?
Yeah, TLC. Oh, TLC gets real, man.
It does feel like you're floating on a cloud. Like,
it's
No, but TLC is like the most realest television like ever.
They found a niche, and it's just gruesome.
It's like, really real.
I don't watch it at all.
Oh, they have like
they literally have a show called My 600-Pound Life. Right? Is that still on?
That's still on. That's
because like you'd think after a season or two that was going to end. But
no, and they found multiple people to be on it, and it's like what it's like to be 600 pounds. And the people like crying because they don't want to get out the car.
They just filmed in Iowa.
It's all the Iowa State Fair.
But it also was like,
word up to my Iowans.
In case it wasn't clear, like, fuck you, Iowa.
With the Duggards, where it's like 50 kids or something, like 25 kids.
Yeah,
like,
but like, aren't like
multiple wives.
But like, aren't like 12 of them rapists? Like,
yeah.
Like,
well,
like,
I mean, just
TLC, man.
The brother was like raping his sisters.
I mean, statistically, that's going to happen when you have that many kids. Like, that's just like,
there's going to be one that's just really horny.
Like, what are you going to do? Well, on the bright side, you got replacements. Like, we're all going to be, you know, like, you got,
it's
you
like,
can
well,
give
when that one goes to jail.
Right, he goes to jail. We're not going to talk about him, except for Thanksgiving.
We're making fun of it. That was a real life decision in like Irish history. Like, we could have 9 because 2 will make it to being adults, and the rest will be like helpful until they go. That's
And I feel like that's in a lot of countries because like I know back in the day I had to do this paper about Brazil, but they didn't name their children until they were like 6 years old because they were afraid they were going to die, so they would just call them child and the number order birth they were. So it's like if they were like the third one, it's just like, oh, child 3, and you were child 3 until you're like 5 or 6, and then you got a name.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's pretty I mean, that's not a bad system.
You're like, well, it's very orderly.
It's consistent, like everybody's on the same page, like it's like start having somebody or like number backwards from 100 or something to screw everything up.
Yeah.
And child 99. Wow. Yeah, it's really been around.
It's like, oh, this kid's a big pain in the ass.
Yeah.
99 children.
Like, what can I say? Right, because the kids are dying at that rate, and they're not naming them. Like, how do we know that it's like, it wasn't that one night, kid screaming?
Right.
Like, you know what? And you used to be child number two.
That's real shit older brothers still say, by the way. It's like, oh, there was one before you, but we killed him. I was definitely told that growing up, and I was like, I don't know if you're joking or not. Like that is terrifying.
Yeah, older brothers do that.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, I did that too. Except for there was, and I killed him.
No, I pushed my little brother down the stairs, and I was like 4.
That's normal.
Like, he was in a stroller.
It's like, yeah, I told you time. Not to eat my cheesy snack. Yeah.
You know what? I could have had a pony if it wasn't for you.
It's like, mommy said I was going to get a dog, and then I got a brother. Bye, bitch. I don't know. So, like, are you certain that your friends are going to Thailand because they don't care about climate change or that they're just sex freaks?
I mean, I hope they're sex freaks. Like, I feel like that's the more interesting. No, I think they just want to go to Thailand. I feel like everybody wants to go to Thailand. Like,
I don't want to go to Thailand. What? Like, I just feel like it's just very, like, I don't know. I feel like, even though I'm not Catholic, I went to Catholic school from like from kindergarten through 12th grade. I feel like all of like the Catholic guilt of every pope and nun would be on my shoulders. That like, oh, like these little children are being like prostituted out. Like I can't even buy a popsicle because it's going to go towards pedophilia. Like
a real specific Thailand reference.
Like, damn.
Like I am Catholic, and I think that makes you Catholic as well because I've been to church since I was like 15. So like,
yeah,
got me beat. You've been since then. You went until the end of high school, but no, I think, I mean, Thailand's it's nice looking, like on the outside. I don't like maybe don't like, maybe just, don't.
All these people are being exploited.
Well, maybe Jesus, don't visit Mother an Mary. Underage prostitute like that.
Like, but I mean, like, right, don't go there don't for an underage prostitute. But I feel like, what else do people go there for?
For exactly,
like, I mean, or do yeah, I don't know? Like,
yeah, you're going there for an underage prostitute, or you're going there to like kill yourself through auto.
Or you do like illicit drugs and try like you know some crazy
whatever what you're about, doing.
Like, my friend was just there, and like and we were talking, and she like went to like some stripper place where like the strippers were like stuffing like all types of like stuff like up in them and then like writing their names with crayons and
damn
yeah
that is it
like, yeah
now and, I like, feel like I have to go
yeah. Dude, no there was like this one shooter like stripper like shooting darts like out of like her vagina like onto the wall
Jesus
yeah
and hitting like targets
like people
that's what they do in Thailand
yeah well,
that's the opposite like, of every strip
they, like,
club story
fuck animals and
yeah oh
my god. You guys know way more about Thailand than yeah. I do. Like, I was like, beautiful beaches like that. I know you're like, no, they have yeah, that's child
what
you, prostitutes yeah, that,
that's
and
what
women.
When you wake up in the morning,
yeah.
What did you do last night?
Yeah, yeah.
All right. And so I have a lot of friends that have like gone to Thailand and like, you know, have given me like kind of like really descriptive, you know, accounts of being there. And like the whole time, like after, I'm just like, oh God, I hope they don't sit on my toilet seat.
Oh, I have to talk to my friends more about this. Like, this is, you guys are really changing my expectations for their trips.
It's just like, I hope you know you're on a highway to hell. Like,
wait, I wanted to get to this one though because I saw we're talking about evacuating New York City.
Oh,
if
yeah.
some shit were to go down,
dude, nobody's getting
what
out.
What the fuck would you do?
Nobody's
like,
getting
I've
out.
I've always thought about this scenario from like
well, the rich people will get out.
Independence Day, where like the spaceship comes over like New York City, and like you see like all the people like freaking out. Like, what would you do?
So this is literally the only reason I still go to the gym is so that I can run out of the city. Like that's all it is. I'm just like I need to be able to run faster than everybody else because nobody's getting out on the trains or cars. Like, that's stopping immediately. There's 8 million people here. That shit's going nowhere. You think it's bad during rush hour? Wait till the doors can't close. That stop
like,
one.
Everybody thinks you gotta leave now. What?
So I feel like your best bet is going to be to research the old bootlegging tunnels that were like under the city, like when they used to bootleg booze, and those things will go out into like Jersey and like Westchester and like, cause like I live in Yonkers and there's
so you're going to be good.
No, like, I mean, if something, if some like real shit happens,
I'm coming to your house
20 minutes away from the city. Like I'm still getting hit. Like, you know, like if
yeah, you got a head start, like you don't have to go over bridges and then tunnels and shit like that's right. That's yeah. Where we're gonna get slowed
it's
down.
Like I'm trying to walk to get to where your house is. It's gonna take me a day.
Right? Yeah, but this is what I'm telling you. It's like if you find the bootlegging tunnels of yesteryear, those tunnels will take you to like the outer boroughs, and they'll take you to like Westchester and Northern Westchester, and you just like you know get through those tunnels.
I feel like now we're just advocating kids. Just like kids, if you want to stay safe, go find old tunnels from 100 years ago, and make sure they're still functional.
That's their parents' problem.
Yeah. Like. It could be worse.
Exactly. Like, you know, you'll find the mole people. The mole people will help you.
Dude, so that's also a real thing. There are, you know, subway people. Like, there are people that live in the tunnels in the subway system.
I believe it.
Communities. They have their own systems and, like, society.
Yeah.
They're going to kill everybody when they start going to the, like, there's no way they're going to be happy about, like, a million New Yorkers trying to walk their way out of the city in the subway tunnels. There are going to be some murders. Like, you don't want to lead the group.
Is this how the Walking Dead starts?
I think this is how. Like,
that's a thing, too, though. Like, what if there's a zombie apocalypse? That shit were to go down.
Forget about it. I think I'm going to the top of that tall ass building that's built on 57th Street or South Park Avenue or south of the park. It's like 1,000 feet tall. Nobody's going to have the energy to fight me once they get to the top. Like, nobody's going to climb an 1,100 foot tower and be like, let's go. They're gonna die at like the 50th floor. You just gotta get there before the elevator breaks and just ride it out.
I'm taking Japanese sword fighting. That's how I'm gonna defeat the zombie apocalypse.
You gotta buy some swords though. You can't just be like, right, I gotta get down to the dojo. I mean, it's getting real.
It's like yeah, we gotta learn how to use them first.
But no, I mean, I think it's a real, like, there's no way can evacuate ever.
Not really. Like, if there was, like, really an evacuation, even for just, like, a storm or something, Hurricane Tutu is coming. Like,
oh, no, it's like you need
to. Tutus are adorable.
Yeah.
And then you got, like,
actually hit you.
And then you got, like, half of Queens that's like, I've been here since 62. I'm not going anywhere.
Yeah.
Like, well, that does clear up some room on the highways. Like, it's sad.
I mean, you have nice real estate in Staten Island, though.
Staten Island's like a barrier island. Like, just fucking take it. Just leave the rest of us where we are. Like, it's fine.
they probably wouldn't even leave Staten Island.
It's like, we sacrifice Staten Island to the gods of the storm.
The saddest
Atlantis. Take the island of the Staten, sir.
Damn.
We didn't need them anyway.
We're just going hard at like Iowa and Staten Island. We're just like
fuck Iowa. Fuck Staten Island.
We still love you.
But you got to take one for the team on this one. You know, like that.
You know you do.
And there's four other boroughs. Don't think about yourself.
Trying to act like you're Manhattan? No.
Oh, I mean, Jersey would probably be the best option, I feel like.
Yeah.
I think that like, well,
because
like,
they're stronger than the storm.
It's just impossible. If that happens, we're just gonna die.
Nobody's gonna. I feel like, well, half the people are gonna go to Long Island and just be like, oh, we're gonna go to the beach. Like, it's a tsunami.
it's like hello.
But it's the same thing with this is my thought with like most of America is that like once you discount like half the people that are like fucking idiots and gonna go in the wrong direction. You might have a real shot. Like, I mean, like if you start out on foot first, you got a real shot at this one. Don't start like trying to slam into the subway with like everybody else.
Nope, that's right. I kind of think a bike. Just start biking down the street and just keep headed out.
Go north, sir. Go north.
Go north. Exactly.
That's exactly what it is.
That's probably the best bet.
Yeah, and I think, like, because, honestly, we could
because half of the people are stupid, and they're going to, like, go to the subway, or they're going to hop in a car, or they're all going to try to go to LaGuardia.
I'm either going Bootleggers Tunnel, or I'm going Higher Ground.
You're already in Westchester.
Yeah, she's coming into the city. She's fighting the flow traffic.
She's coming with her samurai
sword. Like, fuck this shit. Wait, yeah.
She's going to be on the other side while everybody's like,
I'm
leaving.
I'm taking
out
this island for my people.
Leave, you traitors.
Hakuna Matata, bitches.
It's the most aggressive Hakuna Matata that's ever been said. Like, no worries, now die. That's what you relax first. It seems stressful for you.
I am looking for a man with six fingers in one hand.
I do love The Princess Bride.
Yeah. Yeah.
You got to call out that reference. That,
yeah.
It's one of my favorite movies.
No, it's an awesome movie. I love that movie. And it's so strange to see, like, Mandy Patinkin now, like, on, like, Homeland or whatever, and it's, you're just like, wait a second, but, like, what happened to you? Like,
but you were good. That movie, what's also, like, everybody in that movie has gone on to strange careers.
Yeah.
With the exception of, like, Andre the Giant, who was pretty predictable in his path. Like, that was...
I smash people.
Yeah. His career was pretty solid. But, yeah, I mean, I think Mandy Patinkin. Wow, that's a name I haven't heard in a while, by the way.
Yeah.
I didn't know anybody knew his real name. He's just the guy from The Princess Bride.
Yeah, yeah.
That's, I'm impressed.
You killed my father. Prepare to die. You know what actually ruined my childhood? Jennifer Connelly with that Requiem for a Dream.
Yeah, that is a fucked up movie.
I was really thinking about that movie the other night, actually.
Yeah, because I used to watch Labyrinth like 10,000 times, and then, like, I saw Requiem for a Dream, and I'm just like, what is she putting where? Like,
ass to ass. That was a good line.
That's an intense movie.
That was
movie.
A very
that's,
intense yeah. movie.
Well, it's also like she was in like her prime when that movie came out. And most Hollywood actresses would do like a Wolf of Wall Street type nudity scene where like it's nice.
Yeah.
Like you're like, oh, you're a beautiful woman. No, she was like, I'm going to go drug addict having money thrown at her to fuel her habit.
Right.
Like,
yeah. Doing a double dildo.
Yeah.
Right. Like that's. It was an artistic choice. That's a,
yeah.
I love that movie, though.
Ruined my childhood. Because, like, in my head, when I see Jennifer Connelly, I'm just like, dance, magic, dance. And I'm just thinking, like, David Bowie singing songs, and now he's dead. And then, like, and I'm just like, oh, Labyrinth. And then, like, Rec Room for a Dream, and I'm like, my childhood is ruined. I need to see my therapist.
Like, yeah.
It's like, it's horrible. It's horrible.
A lot of drugs. I've like completely blocked out that movie from my memory. Like that's, I've seen it once and I was like, I'm going to forget that one.
See, right. I saw it once and that was like my reaction. I'm going to forget it. But then like I saw it a couple more times. Like, let me open my mind up to this movie.
Yeah. And then you're like, ass to ass, bitch. Ass to ass.
Right, exactly. Now I'm able to like quote it. That's what the guy says at the end. It was like, yeah, ass to ass. Like, what should she do when she's there, like, with the other girl? Like, oh, it's like, oh, shit.
Jesus.
That's yeah. right, exactly. And it's just like,
yeah.
Like, yeah, like, and then I saw it a couple more times. Like,
yeah.
I hated it, and then I was like, ah, well, I'm going to give it another watch.
And that's right. from someone that's not even into the vajayjay.
I got a thing for Marlon Wayans.
You're like, I'll suffer through vagina for this.
Jared Leto's hot, too. So it's like, you know, Jared Leto, Marlon Wayans, they're best friends. I feel like I'd be like their gay homeboy.
It's just like, you know, that day that they're questioning, you'll just be right there.
Right? You know, you sell to me all the time.
It's like, I'll tell you a little bit about ass to ass.
Yeah.
So, Pete, like, do you feel that, like, weddings are just really just, like, one-upping?
All right. So, weddings. So, I'm – all right. So, I've been invited to, I think, 9 or 10 weddings this year.
Shit.
So, I'm pretty bitter about this whole system. Like,
just this year.
Yeah, just this year. And so, like, first of all, I didn't know I had that many friends.
Do you go to all of them? Or?
Yeah, almost all of them.
Have you calculated how much money you're going to spend on going to all of them?
Oh, no. That's a lot. It's a ton. Right. Between gift,
travel, hotel, your outfit,
and then bachelor parties, right, tuxes if you're in the wedding, whatever you need. It's all of my vacation time and money just rolled into one. And I'm like, hey, I'm glad that you guys have been together for 6 years. You lived together for 4. You know, like, just go to City Hall. Like, yeah. There's no reason. Like, so I live with my girlfriend now. There's no reason to have a huge wedding for us. Like, don't get me wrong. I have no choice. If I propose to her, I'm fucked. We're having a huge thing.
Right.
But, like, no, there's no reason. Like, there's real milestones in relationships, right? Like, moving in together. And, like, the first time, like, she walks in on you in the bathroom. Like, have a party that she didn't dump your ass in that moment.
Hmm.
Like, there's no, like, you've been together forever. Everybody knows you that you guys are together. To have a $40,000 wedding with, like, a live band and roses everywhere, so that you can go back to arguing about the fucking cable bill next month, is stupid. Like, that shit doesn't make any sense. Like, what are we doing here? And, like, half the people in the room don't even like you. Like, you invited your entire families. Like, no, screen them. Come on. You don't need crazy Aunt Lynn showing up who's, like, out of her mind.
Yeah.
Maybe it's that I'm Irish, and, like, Irish families, I feel like, just don't. Like, an Irish wedding, you know some shit's going to happen. You know, like, well, somebody's falling down a hill.
Yeah.
Like, somebody else is getting kicked out during the ceremony.
Is your girlfriend Irish, too, or?
No, she's Polish and Italian or something.
Okay.
So, like, you know, the rest of Europe that nobody likes. Nobody's like, oh, yeah, the Swedes.
It is really annoying. You get invited, like, all these weddings. You have to spend, like, all this money to, like, make sure just getting there and being there, like, not even being involved.
Yeah, and, like,
Coming with a gift. It's like,
I don't know. My friends are all degenerates. We're all single. Like, I go to, like, I get invited to, like, one wedding every 3 years. It's like, oh
shit, you
made it.
Yeah. Damn.
And then you're just like, all right, I gotta do it. Like,
and that's how you find out they're pregnant. <It's> like, oh, that's a.
And it broke, huh? Didn't it?
Congratulations.
It's like, you're really hoping it looks like him, aren't you? Like, it's like, why does this baby look Chinese? I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. The cab driver.
I flipped a coin on which one to marry. Man, no, I think that, no, it's, I mean, I also think that, like, if you look at the way men and women get into engagements, too, it's like, it's a very different thing. Like, I have friends that have diamond guys now. And, like, if you have a diamond guy, like, you're a serial killer. Like, there's no normal diamond guy. Nobody's ever been like, oh, yeah, my diamond guy lives down the block from me. No, they all live in South Jersey. Every one of them only wears, like, a black t-shirt, leather pants, and jewelry. And they just go around selling, like, tax-free diamonds. Which, like, that's not a real thing. They're all criminals, is what I'm saying. Like, so, like, and then if you're a girl, you just sit around and wait for a beautiful ring to be given to you. That's a very different setup than, like, me texting my friends for my diamond guy. Like, I did the same thing in high school for my drug guy. It's the same system. It's just more expensive now.
Is that so you're going to go to the diamond guy?
Yeah, right. So if my girlfriend's listening, I'm not proposing. So we got time.
Okay, that's going to be an interesting breakfast.
Yeah. How long have you guys been together?
Like 4 years. So, like, we live together. I have a dog. Like, she's not going anywhere.
You guys live together.
Yeah. So, but
you don't got time, bro.
Here's the thing, guys. If you're living with your girlfriend and you're worried that she's gonna leave you because you haven't proposed, get a dog. Like, that's it. That's the entire. I have 14 years now. Like, my dog is 1 year old. My dog, if I treat her well, will live to be 15. She's not going anywhere till that dog is gone.
How old are both of you guys?
I'm 27. She's 28. So.
28.
Yeah.
Got 2 years, bruh. Let me tell you something. When you turn 29, that shit starts ticking. You start to think about, what am I doing with my life?
What are we doing?
I mean, he's been engaged.
Have you really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I'm. There's a second story there. Cause
I'm not now.
I don't want to ask, but I feel like I want to ask. Like, was it you or was it?
No, it was him. he proposed to me, and he needed citizenship.
Yeah. There we go. So that's all right. So
it's a little different.
Well, maybe maybe if your girl needs a green card, then you should propose. Like that's right. Like
But I'm just telling you that like she's about to be 29, thinking about getting to 30. You start to think about things like a little bit differently.
What was he? Was he also getting a 30? Like was that a green card? He was over 30.
I know how I was when I was about to turn 30, and I wanted to have. I almost like had a baby with some random chick. And yeah, I'm gay. I was about to fuck her and have a kid.
that's a real moment of crisis right there.
That's not random.
Oh man.
All right. So David is giving me the wrap up, fuckers. Let's see one more thing. So. Scientifically, do you think that we're focusing on the wrong things?
I mean, so a little bit. Well, I just don't understand a lot of the things that exist like today. I don't understand. So we can't cure viruses. Like we have treatments, but we can't cure a virus. There's no like antibiotic for viruses. But we can make paper like not absorb boiling water indefinitely. Like I go to Starbucks all the time. And I just get like boiling water poured into a paper cup, and nobody asks questions. Like, what is that's not normal. Like, I've never poured boiling water on a piece of paper and been like, "This is going to end well."
Yeah, this like, is true. It's there like, was this some is not going to end with me of 3-degree burns.
Somebody who went to MIT came up with this fucking new way to design paper that it could take hot liquids, and that guy is an asshole. Like, he should have gone.
That guy is rich as fuck.
Yeah. That guy is crushing it right now.
Yeah.
He's sitting at the top of his tower. Right?
Like and he's just like, oh, you think I'm an asshole, dude?
It's that kind of shit where it's like that or it's I don't understand where like pigment comes from. Like, why is it that I can buy a pink shirt? I've never seen some of the shades of colors that are in fashion in the natural world. Like, they don't exist. I've never seen, like a rainbow, fuchsia, anything. Are we just, like, crushing up flowers and just dumping them into vats and that's
back
it?
Back in the day.
Like, that's, I don't, like, so all of this stuff is just, like, it's, I don't get any of it. And so now, and then I look at it, I'm like, but we can't figure out how to not pollute and shit. Like, I feel like the same people, it's the same people that know how to make dyes, that know how to, like, I don't know, cure cancer.
But their
like,
dyes are polluting.
That's probably true. Like they're probably I should blame them for more shit and not people going to Thailand. The people going to Thailand are just trying.
They're sinners.
Right? They're just trying to have sex with children. And that's,
I mean.
Or, you know, like self-auto asphyxiate or something. But, like, you know, it's, they're just.
I thought it was self.
They're, they're pulling a Carradine.
You gotta go all the way to Thailand to do that.
Well, how are you gonna do it in Carradine's hotel room if you're not in fucking Thailand? All right, so we have to wrap up. Before we go, though, Peter, where can everyone follow you on social media? What projects are you working on? What's your next show?
So I'm on Facebook at Peter Brocker. I have a Twitter. You will be pretty bored trying to figure out when I'm tweeting. I tweet super sporadically. So maybe don't follow me there. My next show is going to be, Friday. I think actually my next show is, Wednesday at the Comic Strip.
Cool.
And then, my next project is, just trying to get my life together. I feel like that's a real
project.
That's a real thing. It's just like trying to, project. I just wake up and I'm like, what am I doing here?
Yeah, I hear you. Rodney.
You can catch me tomorrow at the evening with Sarah Vaughn, our, the backers audition I'm doing. If you guys like want to come to it, RSVP on Facebook. I'm also doing a comedy competition show at Broadway Comedy Club. I'm judging tomorrow night at 6 p.m. So, yeah, look me up.
On the 29th, I'm going to be at UGG show at the Mockingbird. It's Todd Monacy's show. You can catch me at Broadway Comedy Club for Fashionably Funny on September the 29th. We're going to be at Otto Shrunken Head the first Saturday of the month for Merriment and Mortification. And we will be right here on Big Talkin' Brewskies. I'm Marissa Smith. And be good to yourselves. Be good to each other. And remember, you guys, this Russia shit is real. Have a good weekend.
Yeah, big talking brewskis. Marissa Smith is who you see. What a cooler combo in here. Crack a cold one, we're on the air. Big talking brewskis. Marissa Smith is who you see. What a cooler combo in here. Crack a cold one, we're on the air. Kicking back, having a few beers, we're chatting. Pull up your chair, we're all relaxing. Any subject, we never dismiss. Big talking brewskis with Marissa Smith. Comedy, sex, relationships, more. Any subject, we got it in store. Big talking brewskis is coming in live. Crack one open, Marissa has arrived. Big talking brewskis with Marissa Smith. Yeah.